We have been looking at the importance of names. We've been talking about names, particularly the names of God. And we'll get to the names of God in just a second, but for just a few moments, I want us to have a little fun. You know, many of us have, in our lives, like we've lived lives where we have tons and tons of experiences with items and things around the house that we absolutely have no clue what they're called. For example, how many people remember this? How many people know what this is? How many people, raise your hand if you've ever seen this. Now, how many of you all know what this is called? And you can't use, that's the thingamajig or the whatchamacallit, or that's the foot measurer thingy. Like it has an actual name. Does anyone know what a name? I have a hand raised. What is it called? Very good. Brannick device. Okay. It was named after a guy like Dr. Brannick who invited this. But no one ever calls it that. And I don't even know if they still have these in shoe stores. I've not seen these things in years, but that's called a Brannick device. All right. All right. Let's some other items that you may have seen. All right. So how many people here like bananas? I love bananas. They give me heartburn, but I love them. Now, you know those little stringy things on the banana? That's what we call them, right? Stringy things. Does anyone know what those are called? Someone says they're called annoying. Yeah. Very good. Very good. No, they actually have a name. They're called phloem bundles. Phloem bundles. Who knew? Who knew? So next time, before you eat your banana, take off the phloem bundles. Okay. All right. So I don't know if some of y'all may be flexible enough to not have this problem, but there's a portion on your back I just can't reach. Like your back itches, and you need someone to scratch that part of your back. Now, fortunately for us, they've like innovation in this area is like so great. Like hangers and like the wall where you kind of get up and they even sell back scratchers in but do you know that portion of your back there's a name for it? Does anyone know the name of that portion of your back? I don't see Dr. Nick Yeager in here. Maybe he would know. Anyone know the name of it? It's called the agnestis. I don't know. The portion of your back that no one can reach except for you people who are like double jointed and you can scratch your own back. I don't like you people. But that's called the agnestis. Okay, here's one. Surely you all get this because like we all go get our coffee and we get those paper cups at Starbucks and Panera and other places. And the cup is hot. So you need that, what is it called? Sleeve. No, it's not a sleeve. The real name, it's zarf. It's a zarf. That's what it's called. It's not a sleeve. So next time when they don't give you your zarf, you tell them, hey, I need a zarf. And then they'll say, you're banned from coming here. We don't know what that is. Okay, last thing. How many people know what this is? Not that. Go next pick. Next pick. That the curvy thingy. What's that called? The what? The claw. Right? Right? No. It's called the peen. P-E-E-N. The peen. The peen. How many people knew that? Now, listen. I just showed you five. There are probably 8,000 items in our house that we have made up names for, but there are actual names. And say it's fun to go and look up so that you can stop calling everything the thingamajig and the whatchamacallit. Those names are interesting, but what's even more interesting is what we've been doing for the past several weeks are the names of some of the people in here. In this church, we have several people with the name of William. Some go by William, like William Heil, but most go by Bill. William is a name that means resolute protector, strong-willed warrior. Yes, that's why William Wallace was named William Wallace, if you know who that guy was. Trina, is Trina here today? I didn't see her. Yeah, it's Trina. Do you know what your name means? Okay. She don't know, so I'm going to tell you. So I get that. Yes. Your name, Trina, means a bunch of wild roses. Yeah, bunch of wild roses. I kind of forgot that my mother-in-law was going to be here today. And so why not spend some time to talk about my mother-in-law? My mother-in-law name is Johnny Sue Petrick. Now, you might be saying, you know, Johnny and Sue. Like, I've heard that's an Arkansas thing. Like, I went to school with a woman. Her name was Roy Beth. She's from Arkansas. But Johnny Sue Petrick. Johnny Sue, obviously, two names. Johnny is a word. Another name for John. God is gracious. And Sue, do you know what Sue means? Lily. So God is a gracious lily? No. But I know if you know my mother-in-law, what's interesting is I don't know that there's a more gracious person that I've ever met. I'm not just saying this because my mother-in-law is in church, y'all. Like, I really do believe this. I would say this if she wasn't here. And she's as beautiful in terms of her spirit as a lily. It's so incredible the way that our names come to describe us, even if that wasn't like the original intention of our names. Many of us get our names because that was, my middle name is Eli. That was my grandfather's name. Not that it had any particular meaning, but it's interesting how we begin to live into these names. I'll never get tired of exploring the names of people I know and love, and I will never, ever grow tired of exploring the names of God. And that's what we've been doing for the past month. God has many names that are revealed in Scripture. Sometimes these names are born out of experiences with people who worship God. And sometimes these names are designations of His character, His personality, His acts. Sometimes these names describe just, you know, his sheer personality, the all-powerful one, the creator. God is Elohim. We talked about that a few weeks ago. God is a covenant God who promises to be whatever he needs to be. He says to Moses, reveals to Moses, I am who I am, or I will be what I will be, or what we have come to, the he will be what he will be, Yahweh. Last week, we looked at God as Yahweh Yireh, or Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. And for the remainder of our time together today, I want us to meet El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Genesis chapter 17, starting at verse number 1. Genesis chapter 17, starting at verse number 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will make you exceedingly numerous. When Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land where you are now an alien, all the land of Canaan, for a perpetual holding, and I will be their God. It seems that we keep coming back to Abram or Abraham, and we learned last week that Jehovah Jireh, was a name that was first introduced in an episode in Abraham's life. Here's another episode that preceded last week's story. Throughout the life of Abraham, God was constantly revealing himself to Abraham and confirming his plan to make Abraham into a great nation. God had made these promises over and over again to Abram. And God had made this promise to make him into a great nation and to bless his descendants. And through his descendants, God would bless the entire world. God had a grandiose plan to bless the entire population of earth through Abram's descendants. Now, spoiler alert, the ultimate blessing would come through Jesus, who was a direct descendant of Abraham, and we'll talk more about that in a couple of weeks. In this encounter with Abram, God reveals that his name is God Almighty. Interestingly, this name of God would show up during the life of Abraham's son Isaac and Abraham's grandson, Isaac's son Jacob, or Israel, God Almighty, or El Shaddai. In Genesis chapter 28, verses 3 and 4, Isaac is about to die, and he's blessing his son Jacob, and this is what he says to his son Jacob. He says, "May God Almighty, may El Shaddai, bless you and make you fruitful and numerous, that you may become a company of peoples. May he give to you the blessing of Abraham, to you and to your offspring with you, so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien, land that God gave to Abraham." Almost repeating what God had told Abram when he changed his name to Abraham. Later in the life of Jacob, this is the episode where Jacob is wrestling with God, and his name is changed to the Hebrew word that means wrestling with God. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. This is Genesis chapter 35, starting at verse number 11. It says, "God said to him, 'I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall spring from you. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you.' Then God went up from him at that place where he had spoken with him." I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. In these three instances where El Shaddai is used, it relates to God's promises, his promise first made to Abraham, and God's intention to bless their descendants with land or a place to live, a place of protection. The land would come to be known as the Promised Land. The Promised Land, and it wasn't just any land. It was a land that was abundant in nourishment. Thus, the land was often called the land of milk and honey. It was called a land of milk. That is to say that it was a place that had a lot of cattle and a lot of sheep and a lot of goats, milk-producing animals. And to say that a land is flowing with milk is to say that, man, there is a lot of meat there. And if you say there's a land that's full of honey, that's to say that the vegetation is as far as you can see, and it produces plants and vegetables. Another way of saying this may be to say that this is a land full of meat and potatoes, flowing with milk and honey. That's an important feature as we continue to look into the name El Shaddai. You might note that this name is made up of two words, El Shaddai is. We've already explored El. Remember, that was the first name we looked at. We looked at Elohim. Elohim is the plural of El. And that word, El, Hebrew word, means all-powerful or even almighty, creator. And then there's the second word, Shaddai, the Hebrew word that is translated in our Bibles as Almighty. It might be that God is by revealing this name, just simply trying to double down on his power and his might. I'm the Almighty, Almighty. But digging deeper into the word Shaddai yields another idea worth exploring. The Hebrew word for Shaddai has a root word in it. That word is the Hebrew word for breast. That word is shad. And that's Shaddai derives from that word shad. The Hebrew scriptures often uses a nursing mother as a metaphor regarding God's care for his people, as one nurses, you know, their child, so that God cares for his people. That's a metaphor that we sing about, that we see all throughout Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 66, for example, verse number 10, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her, enjoy all you who mourn over her. Verse number 11, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breasts, shod. That you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. There is a sense that God is doubling down on his all-powerful status. Yet also in El Shaddai, God is communicating his role as nurturer, one who gives nourishment and one who blesses. That is exactly what God wanted his people to know as they were going into the promised land. They were going into a place that had a lot of strangers, a lot of people they didn't know. There was no assurance that when they went into this land that these strangers would take kind to them, or that these strangers would provide for them. They were likely to be enemies and antagonizers toward them. God wanted his people to know as they were going into the promised land that there were going to be a lot of gods and a lot of idols that they had a choice of going to give them what they needed. But El Shaddai expressed to his people that El Shaddai would be the all-powerful nourisher and the all-powerful nurturer and the all-powerful source of blessing and provision and care and protection in the new land. And throughout the rest of life for all generations of people who follow God, El Shaddai would be the God who is praised, because El Shaddai is the one from whom all blessings flow. Thus all creatures here below give praise to El Shaddai. The name El Shaddai is to convey a God who is the one from where our very lives originate. And as the one who gives us life, he is the one who will sustain our life. El Shaddai is the one who will give us what we need and nourish us and care for us like a mother cares for her child. El Shaddai blesses us with unmatched nourishment and care, similar to the unmatched care mothers give to their babies. Now, I'm not dismissing the role of fathers in the lives of babies and children's, but there is just something that a mother provides that only mothers can provide, that soothing voice, that tight embrace of a child that sends a message to the child that they're in safety, they're in a safe place. In this place, they will receive all they need. If they're in pain, the child is held so close to the breast and rocked and sung to, and the child is given assurance that they're going to be okay. My wife was masterful at this. I mean, she has a great singing voice, but when our child or children would cry or they were hurt, she'd grab them and she'd sing. Man, you know us. You know, we're like, hey, go walk it off. Like, that's just what we do. Like, we want our kids to be tough, right? We're just not the nurturers that women are, that hold the baby and just sing to them. And man, when a baby is just in the arms of a mother and they hear that voice, it's like nothing else really matters. That similar way is what El Shaddai does. He holds us close to the breast and whispers to us a much needed message. I, El Shaddai, I'm all you need. All blessings come from me. In the life of the church, Christians, Jesus followers, must embrace El Shaddai as the one who blessed people in the past, is blessing people right now in the present, and will continue to bless folks in the future. That's kind of what God was expressing to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, that I am El Shaddai, and when you come into the land, I'm going to continue to be El Shaddai. And right now, in this moment, I'm El Shaddai. And you remember in the past, I was El Shaddai. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. For Jesus followers, for the church, El Shaddai is the one who blesses us. He is the source of all blessings. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this in the introduction of his letter to the Ephesians. And it's a writing that is just full of the blessings of God. And Paul just, for some reason, seemed in a place in writing to these Ephesians as he was a writer in prison. Still able to reflect upon all the blessings. He starts in verse number 3. He says, blessed be the God. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. If you go on to read the rest of the book of Ephesians, Paul lists many of these blessings. You can go on and read it sometime. But in summary, in chapter 1, verse 4, he says he's blessed us by choosing us. And in chapter 1, in verse number 5, he blessed us by adopting us. And in chapter 1, verse 6, it says he blesses by freely giving us grace. In chapter 1, in verse number 7, He's blessed us by forgiving us of our sins. In chapter 1 and verse number 13, he has blessed us by including us with Christ. In chapter 1, verse 13, he has blessed us by marking us with the seal, the Holy Spirit. In chapter 2, in verse number 4 and 5, he has blessed us by making us alive. The text says we were dead, but he made us alive. In chapter 2, verse number 8, he has saved us by his grace. In chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, he has blessed us by giving us peace with other people who don't look like us, who come from different backgrounds. He has blessed us by making us peace with one another. In chapter 4, in verse number 4, he has blessed us by calling us into one hope. In chapter 5 and verse number 8, he has blessed us by calling us out of darkness, out of chaos, into his marvelous light. He's blessed us by calling us out of ignorance into knowledge and understanding. In chapter 6 of Ephesians, chapter 10, verses 10 through 18, he has blessed us by equipping us to protect us so that we can fight the spiritual forces that are all around us. He has blessed us provided for us, given us everything we need because He's El Shaddai, God Almighty, the one from whom all blessings flow. God has demonstrated in so many ways and so many times, and many of you have your own stories, you have your own testimony, you have your own witness, where God was all you needed. He was El Shaddai. I said when we started this series that in learning God's names, it might enrich our relationship, increase the intimacy we have with our God. I also said that in learning God's names, we will learn more about Him and more about ourselves. So here is a cue to take from El Shaddai this morning. We learn this about ourselves when we dig deeper into El Shaddai, when we learn about a God who makes promises and makes good on His promises. We learn from El Shaddai, who nourishes us and nurtures us and cares for us and provides everything we need. We learn that about El Shaddai. We learn about that position in our lives, that posture in our lives. But if we really take note of how powerful He is, how all-sufficient He is, and how nurturing and caring He is, like a nursing mother, we also learn and accept that we ourselves are not the all-sufficient ones. Like, we come to a place where we begin to understand that we need someone, that we can't do it by ourselves. We would love to embrace that posture and live in that posture and boast about that posture. I don't need anyone. I don't need nothing. I'm good. No, when we really begin to look at El Shaddai and what El Shaddai has demonstrated throughout life, we come to learn some things about ourselves. We come to confess and admit and be honest that we have needs. And that those great needs, the only one who can meet those great needs is El Shaddai. So at the end of the day, it's where we begin to sing songs and pray prayers that confess that truth. That all I need is You. I confess my need for El Shaddai. I confess my total reliance on El Shaddai. The same El Shaddai that promised blessings to a generation entering a foreign land is the same El Shaddai that promises blessings to us in this land that often feels like we're amongst strangers or we don't belong or we don't have what's necessary or what we need to survive. El Shaddai says, I got you. I will give you what you need. I will care for you the way a mother cares for her young. All I need is You. This morning, I want us all to make that confession. I want us to make a confession that our need for God is at the top of the list of everything. It's not a better job. It's not more money. It's not a bigger house. It's not a faster car. It's not more obeying kids. All I need is You. And when we really take that posture of being nurtured and nourished by God, confession that just flows all off of our lips is El Shaddai, you're all I need. I'm beginning to understand that. It's taken a minute. It's taken a while. But I'm beginning to understand that what I really need, more than these things, more than this stuff,
is you. I need you, El Shaddai.
We're going to sing a song right now that I pray would be a blessing to you, not just in its melodies and harmonies, but words of confession that state your reliance on El Shaddai. And if there are needs that you need met, that you've been trying to get, you know, you've been trying to meet these needs with other people, other things, other systems, I pray that you say right now, I'm beginning to understand. I'm beginning to understand that all I need is El Shaddai. As we're singing this song, I'll ask a couple of the shepherds to come forward up here. They'll stand up here and receive you. If you come forward, they'll receive you. They'll pray with you. They're here. If you have something to say, if you have something to share, something to confess, or you know something that you there's just something that's just aching you, and you want prayer for relief, we will surround you and pray for you, and we will call upon El Shaddai to be present in your life, to make good on his promises that he made to Abraham, that he made to Isaac, that he made to Jacob, that he made to Joseph, that he made to the children of Israel, that he made to Moses, that he made to David, that he made to all these great characters that we read about and sing about and preach about. He's making these same promises to us, to care for us, to nurture us, to nourish us. Start singing this song. We'll stand. We'll sing this song. If we could pray for you, please just come forward and let us pray for you. Don't hold back. Don't stay silent. Let us pray for you. If today you want to give your life to Jesus, today you want to become his, you want to become a part of his body, you want to become a part of his life, you can make that known, and we'll make that happen. Let's stand and let's sing about our need for El Shaddai.